The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, it's just serendipity. We didn't plan it that way, but the last ad in the break there was for the TV licence, and that is our topic today, because the Cabinet is going to sign off on the Future of Media Commission's report, which has outlined a series of proposals aimed at ensuring all forms of media remain viable, independent and capable of delivering public service aims. Among the proposals are to examine how the collection of the television licence fee can be future-proofed, such that revenues will increase as housing stock increases. What does all of that mean for the future of public service broadcasting? We're joined now by Fianna Fáil Senator Timmy Dooley and by Gripped.ie editor John McGurk, who have differing views on this subject. Good morning and welcome. John, we'll go to you first, because you don't favour any kind of funding for public service broadcasting, whether it's a licence fee or a media fee, whatever it might be. You say no. What's your case?
Well, good morning, Pat, and good morning, Timmy. Well, my case is that I think Timmy would agree with me that we are both partaking in a debate on a high quality public service broadcaster with a highly qualified public service broadcast host, I should say. And it's not publicly funded. News Talk does not get or receive a penny from the television license fee. And yet I think its listeners and its advertisers and many of the people who engage with it every day do so because they find its content superior or more to their tastes than that which is currently on air on the official state-funded public service broadcaster. And it seems to me that the government should not be picking winners in the marketplace like this. Broadcasting, like every other area of life, is a matter of competition. Media is competition. The state does not subsidize a newspaper, for example. People have a choice between The Independent, The Times, The Examiner, The Mail, or even The Journal, or ourselves online if they want their news in a particular way. And what the television license does by propping up one giant in the marketplace is it actually hurts independent stations like News Talk and Today FM or 4FM or any of the others, or the local stations. Because what it does is it creates this giant in the middle of the marketplace that cannot fail. So no matter what RTE do, no matter how poor their output is, no matter how inefficiently they serve the public, they cannot be allowed to fail. And I don't want to sound like some kind of out-and-out free marketeer who thinks that RTE should just be allowed to go bust. But I think, for example, that if the TV license was taken away and RTE was forced to become more lean, that would create space for independent broadcasters to grow. The TV license in its own way is an anachronism, because right across the world, you have a massive and thriving media environment where you have big private entities, you have small independent entities, and you have state entities that are engaged in broadcasting. Mm. There is no particular reason why Irish people at home watching Channel 4 news in the evening should be paying a TV license to subsidize a product in terms of RTE that they're not watching.
Yeah. But Channel 4, in fairness, John, is not going to show you, you know, maybe a tragedy that happened in County Offaly, or, you know, an alert in West Kerry, where there's a fire going on, maybe, you know.
But Virgin you're never, Media will you're,
pass. Well, perhaps they will, perhaps
but,
they won't.
But the Virgin Media will. And there's another point here as well, which is a basic one of fairness, which is perhaps I don't want to watch that. I mean, I don't know why, as a television owner, I am, like most people in the country, a television owner. I don't watch RTE's content because it doesn't appeal to me. And that's not a criticism of RTE's content. I know some people love Nationwide. I know some people love Fair City. I don't. I tend to watch, if I'm watching drama, I watch Netflix or Amazon Prime or any of those things. I pay for them. I'm happy to do so because I'm happy with their content. I am not forced to pay for any other thing that I don't use in terms of broadcasting.
See, you never watch RTE at all then?
Hardly ever. I mean, it's if I'm in my parents' house, or maybe sometimes if there's a GAA match on. My wife's a big Kerry supporter, so I think it was turned on Sunday. But by and large, even then, as a Sky Sports subscriber, I had the option to watch it somewhere else. Now, that's not the case. I recognize there's value for people in RTE. My own parents, for example, watch it almost exclusively. But there are people out there who don't or who are being forced to subsidise it. And nobody else is being forced to subsidise my TV watching habits. And at the same time, RTE is sitting as a giant spider in the middle of the marketplace, sucking in all the resources that would, in more competitive environment, go to stations like News Talk or Virgin Media or the alternatives. So I don't know why or what is so essential about RTE that requires all this subsidisation.
Okay, so are you against any kind of gathering of monies from the public through a licence or a media fee to go to broadcasters who do public service stuff, which is generally quite expensive to do? I mean, it's a lot more expensive to run News Talk than it would be to run a music station, for instance. Are you against any kind of gathering of funding, or is it just that all the funding that's gathered is going to one place?
I'm mainly against any kind, although if it is to happen, it should go be spread around evenly. But the reason I'm mainly against any kind is because I don't think it's healthy in a public in society. For, with the greatest respect to Timmy Dooley, who hasn't spoken yet and whose motives I'm sure are absolutely pure, I don't think it's a healthy situation, Pat, where he holds the purse strings and is in government and has the ability to decide as a legislator what media stations get what money. Because I think that even if the best will in the world, I don't think it is possible for any sensible editor or owner of a station that is dependent on state money to survive, not to be conscious in some way that they can't irritate the government too much with their coverage. Mm. I think it necessarily, by virtue of its existence, once you start taking state money, you start to fear losing state money. And once you start fearing the loss of state money, that starts impacting the decisions you take at an editorial level.
So, Timmy, a number of points to dissect there. What is your take on this? The license fee, a media fee, or just the free market?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Pat and John. I think you've got to pull back a little bit and first establish, do you believe in the principle of public service broadcasting, or as I'd like to see it, public service media or public service journalism? And if you do, then in my view, it follows that you pay for it. Now, how you pay for it and how you collect that money is really the matter under discussion. I did a paper on this a number of years ago, and the conclusion that I drew at the time was that if that was the principle that you believed in, then the public should pay for it through a broadcasting levy. The difficulty at the moment with the licence is that because the way the law is written, you only pay the licence if you have a television as defined in law. Now, many people consume media that has been expensive to create and generate and produce, but to do so through a streaming service on a computer or on a large screen. But because it isn't defined as a television, it doesn't attract a license fee. And then there are others that refuse to pay, etc. So there's an inequity and an unfairness out there, and I believe it should be paid for. But I agree with John in this instance. I don't think that it should be the sole preserve of RTE. And I spoke to a previous director, General Noel Kern, at the time when I was putting that together, and he agreed in principle with that. And I think lots of people in RTE would find that it's not something that can be sustained into the future, that it's just RTE. Like, I absolutely believe in the public service that's provided by News Talk, by Clare FM, by Tip FM, by any of the local stations. And I think that there should be a centralised fund, not under the control of government, but under an independent authority that would ensure that there's a fairness and a balance and an equity that's not under the direction of government and how that those funds are distributed. I also went further, Pat, in this sense, and that I thought also the print media, who perform a very important part of public service journalism, should be supported. And in the paper that I did on that, I suggested that there should be a levy on the advertising fees or the advertising spend on Facebook and Google and other areas, so that you generated money that supported the principle of public service.
Okay,
media.
You mentioned
what is happening. I mean, I think that if I could just explain in this short point, the purpose for it. We saw what had happened in the UK around Brexit. We saw the rise of Donald Trump, mainly through unresearched information being presented as fact and getting traction and being amplified on the various digital platforms. I think that's unhealthy for any democracy. I take John's point, though, that whatever you put in place in terms of the distribution of that funds has to be done very carefully, has to be done in an independent way, and maybe through a broader scheme where the industry or the various different entities are part of an overall board that would feed into the distribution of those funds. I don't think that it would be healthy that the state would be directly in control.
I want to pick you up on the social media thing and whatever about a levy on their advertising, but there's no doubt an RT would complain that so much of their traditional advertising revenue has been sucked away by the satellite platforms, by Sky, for instance, where, you know, they offer packages whereby you can advertise on all of the satellite services for relatively small money. And then in more recent years, social media has sucked out a lot of the money from newspapers and from broadcast media into their particular operations. So, John, to you first, that whole question of, you know, free market rules, wash your face with advertising, when we see external forces sucking more and more of the cash out of the Irish advertising market?
I think there's a look. It's not an easy question to answer, and I think there's a fair. I recognise absolutely. I run a very small media outlet myself, and I know how difficult it is to keep the lights on. And I know how difficult that is. But the problem, as I see it, is that Timmy's vision, which is that you have this state funding newspapers and radio stations to keep the lights on and so forth, divorces those newspapers and radio stations from their communities in a way, because they no longer require to serve them. Their audience, in order to keep the lights on, is no longer let's have a good audience for advertisers, let's bring people in and listen to our product. It is, let's make sure we are fulfilling the criteria set out by whatever this fund is or whoever the authority is dispersing the monies. So, for example, under Timmy's proposal, I wonder how could the Irish Independent ever go bust like the Irish Press did all those years ago? If it can't go bust because it's always going to be propped up, I'm not saying I want it to be, it's a fine newspaper, but if it can't go bust because it's being propped up permanently by a state fund, then it no longer has any requirement actually to be a public service newspaper. The only people it needs to serve are the people who are in some authority to be appointed by Timmy, who are in charge of deciding what public service is. It no longer has to actually write things that draw readers to it. It no longer has to, by drawing readers, appeal to advertisers necessarily. So I think there's a fundamental philosophical problem here
Is that not at the heart of this? If it becomes unaffordable for newspapers, broadcast media to actually serve their own publics, that the public is going to be served by the British channels which are available FOC. No, but I mean, they're not going to bother covering Irish news stories unless there's some particularly huge tragedy or huge news story. The British press, I mean, the British public know little enough about us as it is. If we were depending on them to serve us, we would be more effectively colonized by their cultural influence than by 800 years of occupation.
It's a good job, Orty, you don't show East Enders twice a week then. But I mean, I don't think that's the choice. I mean, we have the second, I think, most read news outlet in the country after RTE, at least online, is The Journal, which is an Irish platform, which is exclusively online, which, so far as I know, I'm aware, is relatively profitable and doing quite well and has massive amounts of readers, even though I don't agree with its output all the time. It's a very successful platform. And that and it is successful because it has evolved past print newspapers. I mean, the difficulty now with newspapers, and it's not just, as you know, Pat, in Ireland, it's everywhere around the world, print sales are declining because people get their news on their iPad or their phone or their desktop machine. They don't go into a shop and pick up a dead tree product.
But who's preparing that news? You see, a lot of the time people are getting their news from, say, the Irish Times online or the Independent online, the Examiner online. So if these outfits fail, who's going to be actually generating the stuff for people to read online?
there will always be demand. And I think that is where, this is where I will be a free marketeer and say you have to have some confidence in the ingenuity of people to come up with new solutions and new ideas. The one thing I fundamentally object to, I want to come back on this point, is something that Timmy said. And this is where I think he and I would have our most fundamental disagreement, where he explicitly said a few minutes ago that one of the reasons he was motivated to do this was because he looked at what happened in the UK and the US with Donald Trump and Brexit and all the rest of it. suggesting to me that he sees the role of the media in some way as being to make sure that bad things don't happen and people don't get too far out of line and people have a particular viewpoint. I think that's a very dangerous way to look at the media, because I don't think, with all due respect, that that's your job. I think your job is to report the news and the facts to the public and let the public make their own mind up. And I think seeing the media as some kind of bulwark against international political currents and keeping Ireland in a particular space where there's no threat of Timmy ever being swept away from office in a populist revolution, I think that actually exposes the fault behind his thinking.
You know, isn't there a whole question of who you can trust? I mean, you had on a major channel in the United States all sorts of anti-vax stuff going on.
Yeah, but I would refer to you, Pat, to the Irish figures on trust. The Irish media's trust figures are not great. I don't want to misquote where the source was, but it was either the CSO or one of the other entities that measure these things. Irish media trust was at 38%. So I mean, I don't necessarily. I mean, that the current model isn't necessarily engendering trust. There were a lot of people on both sides, and I want to be clear, on both sides of, for example, during the lockdown thing, who felt that the media was taking very strongly one side or very strongly the other. So this sense, the Irish media is not immune to international currents, because again, this is something that's happening worldwide. People are finding
the point, and I would just defend what we did on this program. We were science-based, we were research-based. When the science changed, we reported it, and so on and so forth. I'm not sure that Fox News, for example, was science-based.
That's a fair criticism. I'm not here to defend Fox News. I won't fall into that. I mean, nobody would want to end up in the American media situation. But people have ended up in the American media situation, unfortunately, because of things beyond the control of. It's not just the media. It's a whole cultural trend towards more polarization.
All right.
I think if you watch the coverage in the UK, for example, of the Conservative leadership last week, and you watch Channel 4, which is a publicly funded broadcaster, no sensible person could tell me that Channel 4 does not have a very strong partisan bent in terms of how it covers UK politics, or that GB News on the other side doesn't have the same. So this kind of thing is this idea that somehow you can have independent funded media which is neutral and completely free from bias is, I'm afraid, okay. I think a bit of a fantasy.
Last words to you, Timmy Dooley.
Yeah, I think the reality is if you believe in the principle of public service journalism and you understand the purpose of it, it's to hold authority to account. It's not about parroting what the government say. It's about ensuring that they're held to account and that the public have confidence in their political system and also then ensuring that the stories are appropriately researched. And there is an element of curation that goes on for sure, and we see that in the print media. But it's really important that you have a vibrant media that's diverse as well. And the concern that I have, if you just leave it to the marketplace, you'll end up with certain media organizations that are just honing in on one particular strata of society, and they'll channel everything in, as has happened in the US. And I think that's not healthy for democracy. I think you need a diversity, and that's a challenge for News Talk, it's a challenge for RT, and it's a challenge for others to be broadly based, be a broad church of ideas and stories that meets the wider needs of society, rather than having these silos that are just targeting one particular
okay,
group.
But the final point, one made by John earlier, that if independent media, currently commercial media, are dependent on a handout from the state and who gives it, would they not be looking over their shoulders?
Well, I put it to you in another way. There is the suggestion that RTE are waiting for that handout on an ongoing basis. I don't think anybody, Pat, and you're a former star there, I don't think you could ever suggest that RTE were guilty of being a puppet of any government that I can recall. Anyway, I think they have held, no different to the independent stations or the commercial stations, held government, whatever the government of the day was, to account. And I think if you speak to anybody within the press offices, within government parties, they would feel on a daily basis that they get a raw deal. And
all
I
right.
think that's a healthy approach to take.
We will have to leave it there. My thanks to Fianna Fáil Senator Timmy Dooley and to the editor of Grip.ie, John McGurk. Thank you all.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.